Patristic Nectar Publications is pleased to present a new installment of 19 podcasts by His Grace Bishop Irenae of Richmond in his popular series, A Word from the Holy Fathers. These short meditations reveal the ancient wisdom of the Church Fathers and apply it to 21st century Christian living. And now, His Grace Bishop Irenae.
Welcome to this week's episode of A Word from the Holy Fathers. Through the prayers of our Holy Fathers, Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen. My beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, today I would like to share a passage from our Father among the Saints, Ignatius of Antioch, the God-bearer, on false teachers versus authentic Christian love. St. Ignatius of Antioch, one of the apostolic fathers, that is, the collection of fathers writing in the generation immediately after the apostles, most of whom, like St. Ignatius, were disciples of the first apostles themselves, and indeed who often knew the Saviour, write primarily pastoral letters, epistles, much like those that we encounter in the New Testament by St. Paul and others. The reading I'd like to share today is from St. Ignatius' epistle to the church at Ephesus, section 7. This is, of course, the same church at Ephesus to which the holy apostle Paul writes in the epistle contained in the New Testament. From the seventh section of St. Ignatius' letter, we read the following. "Some most worthless persons," he writes, "are in the habit of carrying about the name of Jesus Christ in wicked guile, while yet they practice things unworthy of God and hold opinions contrary to the doctrine of Christ, to their own destruction. Christ became subject to corruption that he might free our souls from death and corruption and heal them and restore them to health when they were diseased with ungodliness and wicked lusts. But the spirit of deceit preaches himself and speaks his own things, for he seeks to please himself. He glorifies himself, for he is full of arrogance. For, says the Scripture, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the way of the Lord. Now the way is unerring, namely Jesus Christ, for he himself says, I am the way and the life. And this way leads to the Father, for no man, says he, cometh to the Father but by me. Blessed then are ye who are God-bearers, spirit-bearers, temple-bearers, bearers of holiness, adorned in all respects with the commandments of Jesus Christ." Again, that's to the Ephesians chapter 7 by our Father among the Saints, Ignatius of Antioch, the God-bearer, a title that he in fact uses in this very passage of others. I wanted to share this passage with you because it speaks of a phenomenon that we not only see very often in the world around us, but that which, if we are honest with ourselves, we ought to see in our own hearts, for we are often guilty of the very things that the saint here identifies. "Some most worthless persons," he says, "are in the habit of carrying about the name of Jesus Christ in wicked guile, while yet they practice things unworthy of God and hold opinions contrary to the doctrine of Christ, to their own destruction." I dwell on that last few words, those last few words, because St. Ignatius so clearly identifies that those who do these things, who proclaim Christ yet do things in disharmony with his will, who hold opinions contrary to the doctrines of the truth, do so to their own death, to their own destruction. It is not so much that these things offend God that makes them worthless and unworthy, though of course God is offended by unrighteousness in a manner that is non-emotional. It is not offended in the sense that we humans become offended. But it is not this that is the ultimate evil. The reason that these things are so wrong is because they are self-destructive. God identifies them as sins, not as an arbitrary proclamation, but because he knows that in living in such a way, in thinking in such a way, we engage in our own destruction. And God wills not that a sinner should perish, but that he should turn from his wickedness and live. Indeed, as Saint Ignatius says in this passage, Christ himself entered into corruption that he could free our souls from death and heal us and restore us to health when we are diseased with these wicked lusts and desires. And here he is speaking specifically of living in an ungodly way while proclaiming to be a Christian, as well as holding to false doctrines. It is precisely for people in this kind of wickedness that the Lord has himself subjected himself to corruption, that he might save us and heal us. All that is required is that we humble ourselves so that the physician can come and lift us up. It does no good for us, no healing good for us, to proclaim Christ with our lips, yet deny him through the way that we live our lives. It does no healing good for us to proclaim that we believe in Christ, yet accept false teachings about him. It is not that if we do these things, if we live in an ungodly way or proclaim ungodly things, that Christ abandons us. God forbid. The more we sin, the further we walk away from the sheepfold, the more energetically he follows after us, seeking out the lost sheep, that he might save us and draw us back through repentance. It is not that he abandons us when we engage in these things, but it is that we cannot receive the fullness of healing when we act in such manners that makes them so great a tragedy for our life. We can pretend to be Christians and yet not truly be so, and God will still love us, but the healing that can come from a true life in Christ will remain far from us until we genuinely repent. And why is this? Is it because God chooses not to heal those who behave in such a way? Again, may God forbid. God desires and chooses to heal everyone, whatever their transgression, without exception. But what happens when we live in such a manner is that we exalt ourselves and we push God aside. As St. Ignatius says, the spirit of deceit preaches himself and speaks his own things. He seeks to please himself and glorifies himself. That is to say, when we behave in such a manner, when we believe in such a manner, we push God aside in favor of ourselves, of our own desires and lusts and wills, of our own understandings and explanations and beliefs. God does not forbid this. He respects our freedom. He will allow us to make even these grave mistakes. If we repent of them, he can heal us of everything. And yet if we persist in these manners, we push him aside, and the healing that he offers, we similarly push to the side, leaving instead only ourselves, our doctrines, our wills, our way of life, our religion. And if we learn anything from the Gospel, from our Savior, from the heritage of the Church, and from all our Holy Fathers, it is that man has no power to save himself. There is no doctrine in me sufficient to overcome death. There is no truth that I can devise adequate to defeat sin. It is only the presence of God that allows this to happen. And if we do battle against him, pushing him out of our hearts and minds and lives through the way that we live and think, then we have only ourselves left, and woe to that person who is in the position of saving himself. Instead, says St. Ignatius, we are to follow the one who proclaims that he is the way and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. It is only by abasing ourselves and allowing Christ into our hearts that we have the opportunity to be healed, to come closer to the Father in the Holy Spirit. Blessed then, the saint concludes this passage that I've read, blessed then are ye who become God-bearers, Spirit-bearers, temple-bearers, holiness-bearers, adorned in all respects with the commandments of Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, we could little ask for a more beautiful exhortation to a life of holiness than this. If we push aside not God, but our own will, if what we push aside is our own understanding, our own desires, our own willfulness, and instead make room for Christ, for the Spirit, for the Father to touch us and to change us, then our lives, rather than destitute examples of self-rule, become God-bearing. They become Spirit-bearing. People look at us and see temples of God's holiness. They look at the real Christian heart, and they see it adorned in every respect with the glory of Jesus Christ. May we seek to become bearers of these holy things. The only way to attain it is to humble ourselves before God, to follow him completely and without equivocation, to become Christians indeed, as St. Ignatius writes elsewhere, and not simply in word. May our hearts be filled with the love of God, and in turn, through his mercy, by God himself, that we may follow the God-bearer, St. Ignatius, in seeking the kingdom of God first and foremost, following the one true way to attain it, and finding God's mercy and his glory through repentance. Through the prayers of our Holy Father, Ignatius of Antioch the God-bearer, and of all the saints, have mercy upon us and save us. Amen.